Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Do you know that the Bible contains more prophecies about Jesus' second coming than those that concerned his first coming? Today, Pastor Ray Viola will begin the study of the Olivet Discourse in which Jesus told his disciples about the destruction of their beautiful temple in Jerusalem and other future events. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray begins his study.
Mark 13, verses 1 through 6. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples, we don't know who, saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Keep in mind that this is the last day of Christ's public ministry in Jerusalem. And as we read, he foretold the destruction of the temple in verses 1 and 2, and it was destroyed in 70 AD. He said that not one stone would be left upon another, and that is exactly what happened in 70 AD, and that temple has never been rebuilt. The things that Jesus said would happen did indeed happen, just as he said they would. And that is what we see all the way through Scripture. Whatever God prophesied was going to happen, happened just the way he prophesied it would happen. And if Jesus was 100% right about the destruction of the Herodian temple in 70 AD, and he was, you and I can be 100% confident that everything else that he foretold would happen in the future, just the way he said it would. Other than the Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet Discourse, which this is best known as, is the longest teaching of Jesus in the Scripture. And though Jesus does foretell, beyond a doubt, the destruction of the temple and the city and in 70 AD, this particular section of Scripture is primarily about what is going to happen at the end of the age and the mindset that we as disciples need to have in light of his promise of an imminent return. I find it amazing that in spite of the fact that the Scripture teaches more about the second coming of Christ than the first coming, by and large, the prophetic aspect of Jesus Christ's teaching about his coming has always seemed to take the back seat in the church in favor of the current crisis or the latest news headlines. In the book of Revelation, beloved, the last words of Jesus were his promise to return quickly. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come quickly. The word quickly means swiftly, suddenly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, a claim to deity. In the book of Isaiah, Jehovah declares, I am the first and the last. In other sections of the book of Revelation, the Father is referred to as the first and the last. And here Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so there is no doubt whatsoever that Jesus Christ is God. In Revelation 22, 17, listen again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that word come means come now, come quickly, come soon. And then the invitation, because God's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. Let him that is athirst come and take the water of life freely. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And John says, even so, come Lord Jesus. Before we jump into the chapter, I want to say here something that I think is very, very important. And that is the last words of Jesus Christ at the end of each gospel. The last words that he spoke before he ascended up to heaven. Bear in mind that Jesus, who in Mark 13 is telling us the end from the beginning, bear in mind that Jesus knew every war that would take place, every plague that would take place, every crisis that would take place, every natural disaster that would take place before he returned. Jesus never told the church to preach politics, preach conspiracy theories, preach a social gospel, or preach the most current or hot topic or crisis. Those are all problems that stem from the sinfulness of man. The answer to all of the problems we face was found in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That has to be the message that is prominent and preeminent in our lives. Even in the book of Revelation chapter 14, in the midst of the tribulation period, John sees an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Isn't it interesting that during the tribulation period, when all hell is breaking loose, an angel is sent to preach the gospel? You and I are commanded by God to preach the gospel to every creature. As we look at Mark 13, it would be good to read Matthew 24, Luke 21, to get a fuller picture of what we find here in a somewhat condensed version in the Gospel of Mark. And so Jesus goes out of the temple, and one of his disciples saying to him, Master, seer, behold, what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings, these mega edifices? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It must have been shocking for these men to hear Jesus say, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The size and the human glory of the temple is beyond our imagination. It's set there atop Jerusalem's northeastern ridge. It occupied 1/6 of the city's area. It was a beautiful building, a magnificent building. Very large stones faced with white marble, trimmed with gold. The brass gates were 130 feet high, stones 40 feet long and 20 feet thick, cut so perfectly that not even a knife blade could fit between them. The temple was nothing less than magnificent indeed. In fact, I have a note in one of my old Bibles that said that the market value of the temple as of July 8, 1993, was over $1 trillion. David Guzik writes this: today, tourists can see some of these massive stones, at least the ones used to build merely the retaining wall for the temple compound. These cut, quarried blocks of limestone are so big, some 50 feet wide, 25 feet high, and 15 feet deep, that most modern construction cranes could not lift them. And yet, just like Jesus said, in 70 AD, within 40 years of this prophecy, the Roman general Titus conquered Jerusalem, and the city and the temple were destroyed. When you read the entire chapter of Mark 13, it should be clear that Jesus was not just teaching about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD alone. And so we have in Mark 13 a near-fulfilled prophecy and then a far-reaching to the end of the age prophecies. And so picking up in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, now you would leave the temple area, go down the Kidron Valley, and then sit there above on the Mount of Olives. That would be across the Kidron Valley, over against the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privily, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" The Mount of Olives, the view that they're getting here is the view that you and I would see whenever there is a news broadcast from Jerusalem, the Temple Mount there. It stands, again, as I said, just east of Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley. It's the traditional site of the Garden of Gethsemane on Olivet's western slope. So they ask him, in response to his amazing statement, "There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." When is this going to happen? What's the sign that all these things are going to be fulfilled? Now, Matthew, who has much more to say than Mark does, specifically asks the question in verse 3, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world or age?" And so Jesus is not only going to answer the question regarding the destruction of the temple, which took place exactly how he said it would take place. He's also going to reveal signs that are going to take place leading up to the tribulation period and the end of the age and his glorious second coming. Four times we find the phrase "these things" in this teaching of Jesus. Twice here in Mark chapter 13 verse 4 and once in verse 29, and then again in verse 30. These things. There are things that are going to happen. Things that were going to happen preceding the destruction of the city and the temple in 70 AD. And we will, Lord willing, get into that a little bit more next week. And there would be things that would happen that would precede his second coming. But in verse 5, Jesus answering them began to say, notice before he begins to tell them what is going to happen, he says, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Four times in this chapter, Jesus says, take heed. Here in verse 5, then again in verse 9, he says, take heed to yourselves. Then in 23, take heed. But verse 33, Mark 13, 33, this fourth take heed is very significant. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Take ye heed. The word watch here is a present imperative tense, meaning that what Jesus is about to say is something that you and I should fix our minds of, think about, and be aware of often. In other words, these things that Jesus is speaking of in Mark chapter 13 are to be prominent in our thinking, or to affect our living. Now, it should be noted here that Jesus' discourse about the end was not focused on setting dates for his return. There have been people that have set dates for the return of Christ. And this much I can tell you. Every time someone has set a date for the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I have said they were wrong, I've been right every single time. This isn't about date setting. It focuses the attention of the disciples, you and me, on our need to be prepared, our readiness to suffer and trust him. He says, watch. Down in Mark 13, verse 34, picking up on this take heed and watch and pray. Mark 13, 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all you, me, whoever you are, watch. So Christ is left, and he gave authority to his servants, and he gave to every man his work. And the one word that Jesus said to us is watch. The word watch means to stay awake, to be vigilant, to be alert, to be spiritually sober. In other words, these words of Jesus, these prophetic words of Jesus, are to be the things that we remind ourselves of, think about, as we go about our daily business. Once again, let me remind you, as I said at the outset, that the priority of the church is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, to every nation, to every tongue, to every creature. That is the priority of the church. Every believer, follower of Jesus Christ, because we live in a hostile world, is equipped with armor to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. But every believer's armor includes that our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice here with me, beloved, Jesus says, watch in verse 35, watch in verse 36. And he says in verse 36, if we fail to stand watch, We could be found sleeping when he arrives. 1 John 2 tells us at the end of that chapter that some will be ashamed when he comes. If we're not mindful of what Jesus says here in the Olivet Discourse, if this isn't something that is a regular source of our thinking and reading, then it will be so easy for you and I to be distracted, to be detoured. And beloved, when we become more concerned with and preoccupied with the crisis of the day or the things of this world than the things of the Lord, spiritual lethargy will set in. I say sadly, not judgmentally, but with a heavy heart today, that there are a lot of church people that are living crisis-shaped, culture-shaped lifestyles than gospel-shaped lifestyles. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 5, it was the love of Christ that constrains me, because we just thus judge that if one died for all, then all died. In Luke 21, verse 34, I mentioned the word take heed. Listen to what Jesus said there in Luke 21, 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time. You know what any time is? Right now. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. The word overcharged means dulled, weighed down, burdened, or consumed with. Surfeiting. That means excess, immoderate indulgence, and drunkenness, and cares. You know what the word cares here means? Anxieties, worries. Jesus says, take heed, lest at any time your heart or my heart is overcharged, dulled by, weighed down by, burdened by, consumed with, overwhelmed with excess, partying, anxieties of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Notice again, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Beloved, Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, warns us, his sheep, that a failure on our part to be watchful and vigilant and preparing for his sudden return will result in wasteful, self-indulging, self-gratifying preoccupation with other things and pleasure-centered living that will dull our senses and spiritual desires towards things of eternal value. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is Thursday, March 21st. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.